Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you because you are a faithful Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In your Son, Christ Jesus, we give you praise. And Father, getting into your word today, we ask that our eyes of understanding is enlightened. We ask that faith arises in our heart by your word as a result of your word today, that our lives will never remain the same, that we forge ahead and we move on by your word today in the name of Jesus. There is no unbelief, there is no ignorance, there is no misunderstanding or confusion, but there is clarity. There is comprehension of your word in the name of Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we began to talk about the name of Jesus. We've said so many things about that name. Let's read John chapter 14, verse 11 and 14. 11 to 14. We've been talking about the name of Jesus, where he told us that if you ask anything in my name, he says, I will provide it. I will make it happen. I just want us to read those scriptures again. Let's read. Again, we started from here last week. Just a quick recap of it. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, we're going to come back to that in our subsequent teachings on this series, I will do also, and greater works than he will do, because I go to my Father. Verse 13 is very instructive. 13 and 14. Look at it. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right. So we said, if you ask anything in Jesus' name, he said, he will do it. He said, this is like making a demand. If you place a demand, if you make a request in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, he will do it. All right? And we read also in John chapter 16, John 16, 23 and 24. John 16, 23 and 24. Again, talking about, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Wow. We're coming back to this in our study. He says, in that day, talking about a future date. All right, at the time, now talking about his resurrection in this place, all right, he says, in this day, the day of his resurrection or after his resurrection, he says, you will ask me nothing. Did you get that? So you will not ask Jesus anything. All right, so he's saying that I say to you, whatever you ask the Father, giving us a direct link with the Father. That now, in that day, you will be able to ask from the Father directly. So you don't need to go through me in that sense. We're going to clarify. All right? He says, you will ask me nothing. Now, he said that you can place a demand in my name and I will do it. But he's saying here that, hey, you will be able to ask the Father directly in my name. We're going to clarify that name. All right? And he will give you. Wow. Okay. Let's build on that thought, all right? Until now, you've asked, what? Until now? I thought people have been praying. I thought Abraham prayed. I thought David prayed. I thought people prayed. Well, he said, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Wow, we're going to come about that name. He says, ask, and you will receive. Sure. You will definitely receive. All right, it says that your joy may be full. Let's quickly pull something there. It means that joy comes from asking from the Father. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. All right, that when you ask, so the fullness of joy comes from what our Father can give. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then we read also from Mark chapter 16. I'm just trying to do some recap that we're going to build on today. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark 16, 17. Mark 16, 17. See what it says again. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. It says, in my name they will cast out demons. It says, they will speak with new tongues. We're going to come back to all of this in our study. All right? It says, we will speak with new tongues. It says, you will lay your hands upon the sick and the sick shall recover. It says, we will be able to do all of this in his name. So we began to ask the question, what makes this name so important? My name cannot do all of these things. I can only give you to the extent of my paycheck. All right? Yeah. All right. And it's limited. Praise God. Okay? If I'm giving you more than that, you need to do some investigation. Praise God. I don't have more than that. Praise God. Now, that's talking about me. Me. But then, he's saying, in my name, we'll be able to do, in Jesus' name, we will be able to do all of these things. We should ask, what about the name of Jesus that makes it so special, that makes it so important, that makes it so strong, so potent, so absolute? See what he said. He says anything. Think about anything. Anything. Wow. All right? So it's very important for us to understand that. Now, we now begin to clarify. We went to the beginning. Because we now want to answer the question, what about the name of Jesus that makes it so important? We went to the beginning to get some understanding as well. You know, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. When God introduced himself to Moses, you know, where he says, you know, when, you know, he was going to send Moses to the children of Israel, Exodus 3, 13 and 14, and Moses was going to ask him questions. So when I get to them, or to these people that you are sending me, who should I say has sent me? All right? So we now came back here to say that, let's read it. Moses then said to God, I like to ask God questions. We should learn to ask God questions as well. All right? Because every answer that God gives is a revelation. Is an insight. I've got people like that. I don't take their word for granted. Men. Now, God, I ask God that I like to listen to everything they say. Okay. Praise God. All right, because whatever they say, all right, it's like meeting a mentor. Whatever they say will help you. You know, you don't just shush away anything they say, particularly if you have asked a question. So how do I go about? And they are saying, have you considered that? You want to pay attention to everything they are saying. Because in that is an insight. Hallelujah. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, can you say I'm slowing down? and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Wow. They say the God of your father has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What is his name? What shall I say to them? Praise God. Praise God. Okay, let's focus. Let's do it. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Wow. I am has sent you. I am has sent you. So, We said that I am, it means that he didn't, we can't qualify him. All right? You can't box him into a definition to say, oh, Vanessa is XYZ. We can, you know, she does. All right? But then when it comes to God, he is who he is. Hallelujah. The better rendition to put this is, I am who I am. I will be what I will be. Praise God. I wrote some things here, therefore, that I want us to consider today. All right? God reveals, we said it last week, I just want to point on it again today. God reveals himself to people through his name. God reveals himself to people through his names. All right? So when God says, I am this, it is a revelation of himself. All right? It's not like an identity in that sense, like I'm Ayo. All right? God introduces himself as a verb, what he does, all right? What he can do, what he will do, what he can become, all right? What he can accomplish, That's how God introduces himself. Let's read some more from Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Exodus 6, 1 to 3. Let's read it. Then the Lord said to Moses again, here, now you shall see what I'll do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let you go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. All right. Look at it again. Talking about revelation, the names of God in God. God reveals himself to people through his names. See what he said in verse 3. Very important. We're going to draw some lesson there. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. Actually, this God Almighty is, this God is not supposed to be, but it's okay, all right? It's as Almighty, the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. I introduce myself to them, all right, as that. But then it says, but by my name the Lord, all right, I was not known to them. So again, we said, the new God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knew God as the Almighty. But they didn't know him as the Lord, okay? And we said, this is why, you know, we have different names or different understanding of God in the Old Testament. We said it better, that men of the Old Testament has got different understanding. Different, not different. It's not different. But a portion, okay? A part understanding of who God is, all right? Like we've read now, Abraham, Jacob, they knew him as the Almighty, he provides. But will you agree now to Moses, all right? He will know God as the Lord and the Almighty, all right? But yet, that's not even all about God. Others, we know him as his righteousness. We talked about that like yesterday. Others, we know him as my peace. Others, we know him as a provider, all right? But then we said that is the nature of the revelation of God, the understanding of God that man has got in the Old Testament. The reason we said, hey, if you're going to read the Old Testament, you must read it with all of this understanding. Man has not different, not a wrong understanding, but a partial, a part understanding, all right? A portion. So you can't take Isaiah. Just take and say you know God. No, God is not the fullness of God, the totality of God, all right, is not supposed to be known in the Old Testament because it was in portion, because it was, you know, it was part revelation. Very important for us to have that understanding. All right, so let's just drive on some thoughts that I have here, that God reveals himself to people through his name. I said something here. I said his name is not merely a title, like an identity. His name is not merely a title, all right? It is the unveiling of who he is. It is the unveiling of who he is, his nature, his character, his purpose, and his power. All right? So the revelation of the name of God, it's not just about his identity. Yes, he gives us an identity about who God is, but much, much, much more than that is a revelation of who God is. Think about him as our healer. He said that I'm your healer. That's his nature. That is his character. All right? His purpose, meaning when he says, I will be what I will be, meaning there's something that is on his mind. I will become what I will become. It tells us of his power, you know, to do things that he said he wants to do. Hallelujah. Let's drive this faster. So, every name by which he makes himself known is a revelation. We've said that. Every name by which he makes himself known, if he has said he's a shepherd, he's our shepherd indeed. If he has said he's our father, he's a father indeed. If he has said he's our husband, he told Israel, I'm your husband. He tells us who the kind of a person he is. God at some point introduced himself as a mother that travails over Israel. He tells us, he's not saying God is a mother in that sense, but he's saying that's his nature, he's a mother. He nurses people. That's our God. Hallelujah. All right, so every name by which he reveals or he makes himself known is a revelation and a disclosure of his being. We're getting somewhere with this. And please, let's follow. All right? So, in revealing his name, he is revealing himself. In revealing him, in revealing his name, you know, at different points, at different times, building upon, you know, the past revelation in portion, in bits here, at different times, at different, in different manners, all right? It's a disclosure of himself. Praise God. And it is a revelation of what he's able to do and able to become. We're talking about the name of Jesus. And let's just follow in all of this. Now, let me take a step back and clarify. So when we say that God can be what he will be, God will do anything, we are not saying that God is fluid. Like if you pour a fluid, a water, something, and pour it, it just takes any shape. No, that's not what we're talking about God. All right? God is, when we say God is, we are not saying God is flexible. He can become, no. No, that's not what we're saying. All right? Praise God. Now, I am that I am. Let's pay attention to this now because it's very important. All right? Because, boy, if you say God can become anything, then he can become a devil. No. 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 All right? So let's clarify this. And it's very important. All right? So I am that I am means that he is self-sufficient, self-existent, and unchanging. I'll take that again. I am that I am. It means that he is self-existent and unchanging, yet infinitely sufficient, abundantly sufficient. We get to the point of this, all right? It talks about, I am that I am talks about one who is complete in himself. One who is complete, meaning is complete in himself. He is a complete God in himself. The reason he can become everything, because in himself is everything. Are you getting the point? All right? So there's no lack, there's no shortage, there's no inadequacy in God. The reason he can become all that he can become. All right? There's a statement I'm about to make here. Praise God. So I am that I am means is self-existent, is unchanging, all right, and yet infinitely sufficient. One who is complete in himself and able, look at this point, and is able to manifest his fullness in whatever way his purpose requires. Hallelujah. He is able to manifest his fullness in whatever way his purpose requires. You get the point, all right? So the almightiness of God, in God being I am that I am, in God being able to become what he wants to become, is able to do that, all right, to manifest himself in the fullness of whatever way his purpose requires. Hallelujah. Whatever way his purpose requires. Whatever way his purpose requires. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he's our healer, he's our shield, he's our peace, he's our righteousness, he's our provider, and the name continues, all right? Each of those names, they are expressions, all right? They are not expressing different gods to us. We are not saying, oh, this is the God, like in other faith or in other other religions, this God is the God of harvest. Then there's a God of fertility. There's a God of prosperity. Oh, we don't have different God of peace, of righteousness. No, it's the same God. All of those expressions of God consist in himself. Total, entire, complete. The reason is I am that I am. The reason he calls himself in me being, you know, self-existent, self-sufficient. I don't change from that, all right? It is in that context of having everything. The Almighty God, the multi-breasted God, the all-sufficient God. It is from my sufficiency, all right, that I introduce myself as I am that I am. That in me being who I am, there's no shortage. There's nothing lacking, all right? When it comes to the purpose, to what my purpose require, I am able to do everything. For example, if I need to go from here to maybe London, I will need to fly there. I can't swim. All right? And I can't run. I mean, there's no, all right? What I'm saying is you need a means from here to get to London. All right? So what God is saying is that whatever means that is required, I have it. Whatever way, so I don't, it doesn't need to consult me. Like I will need to buy a ticket, I will need to depend. God does not depend on anyone. The reason is I am that I am. So anything you want me to be, as far as my purpose requires it, I will become it. I can become it. I am able to become it. Hallelujah. Let's move forward from there quickly. All right? So it's not a different God. We're not talking about different God. We're just talking about, we call it a multidimensional God. I don't know if there's a word like that. A multi-capacity God. He's got capacity in multiple different, every way you want to say it, God has got capacity to fulfill his purpose. The reason we call him, I am that I am. Hallelujah. So, the name I am, listen to this, friends. Listen to this. This is very important. The name I am, therefore, assures us of this. Ha, ha, ha. There is no need in our lives that exists outside God. All right? There's no need. There's nothing that, there's that song that we sing. There is nothing that I need that he can provide. There is nothing that I need that he won't provide. Because I believe. Hallelujah. There's nothing that does not consist in God that we need. Hallelujah. All right. So there's no need of our lives in our life that exists outside of who God is, who God already is. Let me put that. There's nothing that we need in our life that exists outside of who God already is. The reason is I am that I am. All right. I am that I am. Everything we will ever require is found in him. He is always enough. Hallelujah. That is the name of God. And that name, we've said, it reveals his function. It reveals his ability, his nature, his character, his purpose, the things that he wants to do. Hallelujah. The reason we must study this name to understand who this God is. Hallelujah. Now, we've clarified who God is. And we said, men of the Old Testament, they have different portion, different understanding, all right, portion of understanding of who God is. We saw that God introduced himself to Moses, to Abraham, you know, using different, you know, capacity, different verb, if you can put it that way. But yet, God is more than that. God is more than the Lord. He's the Lord, no doubt, but there is much more to God than him being the Lord. God is almighty. Oh, there is much, much more than him than being the almighty. All right, God is our righteousness. There is much, much more to God than him being our righteousness. Hallelujah. But then we said, well, you know, moving forward now, we said, now fast forward into the New Testament. All of those names, all of those names and an expression of God finds their full expression. Oh, praise God. Finds their full expression in Christ Jesus. All right, so there's no Abraham knowing God as Jehovah Jireh, all right, or Jireh, all right. There's no, now all of those, him being a provider, him being our righteousness, him being our peace, him being our shield, him being our Lord, him being Christ, all of the names, the totality of who God is now finds expression in Christ Jesus. We're going to read some scriptures now. Hallelujah. All right, all of the names and expression of God finds their full expression. In Jesus. Am I slow? I've switched to. Let's move on. Men of the Old Testament, they encounter God in distinct names and dimension. Yet, each of them, they were revealing a part of who he is. Yeah, they had an understanding. We are not saying Moses didn't know God. Oh, he does. But we're saying that, yes, but it's a distinct name, dimension of who God is. A part of who he is. Jesus Christ, therefore, reveals to us the fullness, the totality, and, you know, the totality of God. Every expression, every name of God is fully embodied and made known in Christ Jesus. Are we together, friends? We are driving somewhere with all of this, and I want us to follow as we drive. right? All that you can think about God. Is he my, you know, my shield, my, right? We said all of those now is embodied in Christ Jesus. Christ, therefore, becomes who becomes the God that we can understand, all right? Becomes the God, the totality, so that outside of, don't forget, in the names of God, in the revelation of God is everything. He is that he is. He will be all that he will become as far as his purpose requires it. All right? When I say that, all of those expressions now finds totality, finds fulfillment in the person of Christ Jesus. Let's read some scriptures now. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, praise God. Verse 3. The revelation of God ends with Christ. You know, God in the Old Testament has been revealing to you, to me, to different. But those revelation of God, who God is, all right, in different portions, at different times, it ended with Christ Jesus. So that when Christ appeared, there's nothing more to show. When Christ came on the scene, there's nothing more to know about God that cannot be known in Christ Jesus. So Christ, don't forget, Bible calls Christ Jesus the image of the invisible God. So God is invisible, all right? He's invisible, but the one that you can know, the tangibility of God is Christ Jesus. The totality of God is, someone says, I want to know God. Well, that the reason we study Christ, Christ now becomes our curriculum, because it is in Christ Jesus that we know who God is. Hallelujah. Let's drive faster. Because I want us to get to some point today. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Look at that scripture there. It says, that's talking about Christ, all right? Verse 1 and 2, don't project it. It was talking about God. Maybe we should project it just for context, all right? Just verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2, praise God, just to buttress the point I've been trying to pass across. Look at it. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past. When is time past? Long ago. Time past, right? Now, to the fathers. Now, who will the fathers be? Abraham, Moses, more fathers, Solomon, Isaiah, all of them. Thank you, sir. All of them. All right? It says, so the reason we said you can't just pick Isaiah. Now, notice I've not said Isaiah is wrong. No. That's the context of us, of what we believe about God. Okay, but we are reading now is that it reveals. It says, spoke in time by the prophets. Now look at it in verse 2. As in these last days. Now, when you see last days, it's talking about it finally. At the end of the day, all right, think about from Genesis, Adam, Abel, Noah, Enoch, Moses, all of them, all right. It says finally, think about the different portions, different understanding, however progressive, however one building on another, all right. It says, hey, now in the last days, finally, all right, has now spoken to us by whom? By his son, all right. He now spoke to us in his son, so God wants to speak, he just gives you Christ Jesus. So that in his giving of Christ Jesus, there's nothing more to know about who God is. Maybe I'm too quick to make that conclusion because we cannot see in verse 3 now. All right? Now, whom he appointed heirs of all things. Now, we've said many times in church, the way we read the scripture, when you see all things, don't just read all things outside of the context. All right? Read all things there. Out within the context of what we're reading. The all things here will be all the fathers, all that the fathers were talking about, all that the prophets were saying. That's the context. So it's about things that was being said, that God said at different times and in different portion and all. All right? So God made him, God made Christ the heir. The heir, all right? Where did we? The heir of all those things that are being said. Now, through whom he also made the world. Now, verse 3 is very important. That's where we're going to in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Very important. That son, who being the brightness of his glory. Did you see the brightness of his glory there? Meaning, the clearest form. The brightest. All right? The plainest. okay, of his glory. So you want to know the glory of God? It's okay, we can get. Now, if you can get some from the Old Testament, but I tell you, it's going to be in portion. It's going to be a part. It's going to be partial. But look at it. He says the brightest or the brightness of his, the totality of who God is. That's Christ Jesus. All right? Look, I like this other, is that adverb? No, adjective. Adjective qualifies it. Now, look at it. It says the express image. Did you see the point? All right? The express image of his person. All right? And upholding all things. So he calls Jesus Christ the express image of his person. So all of those names that we have, the expressions, the understanding that we have about God in the Old Testament, all right, the totality of it now lives in Christ Jesus. Let's read more scriptures quickly. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right? So I wrote here that it's very important. I want us to know it, that the revelation of God ends with Jesus Christ. So I can't pull out now today a revelation outside of what we know. Sorry, I said that better. I can't pull out now today a revelation about God outside of what we know in Christ Jesus. All right? So because we have seen Christ Jesus is the tangibility of who God is. Hallelujah. The revelation of who God is. Praise God. Right. Let's read some more scriptures. Some more scriptures. John 14:6. John 14:6. I just want us to read some scriptures now. So that you will say, oh, it's just the writer of Hebrews that taught that way. I want us to see what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said to him, I am the way, all right, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Please touch with verse 6, 7, and 7. Let's go to verse 7. Verse 7. If you had, okay, yeah, that's the point. All right. If you had known me, you will have. No. Let's read verse 8. Verse 8 or verse 9. Jesus said it clearly when Philip asked. Verse 9, sorry. Praise God. This is the point I'm going to. Verse 9 is the point. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Ha ha, look at that. Praise God. It says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Does that make sense? So if you have seen me, there's no looking for another. All right? There's no looking for any other thing. If you have seen me, Jesus said, he says, you have seen the Father. Then how can you say, show us the Father? What more are you looking for? There's nothing to show. Hallelujah. Let's use some more. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. I need to run. Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. Look at it. For in him, Christ Jesus. All right? So the writer of Hebrews said it. We've just read about Jesus himself saying, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. All right? I'm the totality of who the Father is. All right? Now, Paul writing to the Colossians. All right? He says, for in him dwells all. Now, look at it. When you say all, not partial, nothing more, nothing else. All right? All. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. What he's saying that if you have seen Christ bodily, all right, he carried the fullness of God, the names of God, those abilities, what God said it can be, it will do to fulfill what his purpose requires. God said that he'll be able to do that. And he said all of those expressions, all of those abilities now dwell in Christ Jesus. The fullness of it, totality of it, dwells in Christ Jesus. Godhead bodily. Let's see some more. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy. This one. I mean, what are we trying to do? We're trying to persuade ourselves in the names of God, who God is. We are seeing now that names now exist in one man, Christ Jesus. So when you see us go loud, go particular about Jesus, it's because that's God to us. That's who God is to us. Look at it. Paul was writing here. He says, he was writing to his son in the ministry, to Timothy. All right? He says, and without controversy, meaning without any, there's no doubt, no contest, no debate. All the debates and arguments has been won. There's nothing more. Okay? Without controversy, he says, great is the mystery of godliness. Meaning, godliness there talks about godlike, what God can do, who God is. See what that godliness is. He says, God, look at that. Praise God. Look at that. Can we just read that sentence, please? God was manifested in the flesh. Sorry, let's stop there. That's all. He says, God. So, what was he talking about here? Or who was he talking about? Jesus. So, when you see Jesus, you've seen God. So, do we now appreciate it better? When God said to Moses, I will be whoever I will be. I will be what I will be. I will be. He became Jesus. He became God. He became man. I wanted to say. He became flesh. All right? Read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 14. It says that, hey, and that flesh became, you know, so, and the word became flesh, and we beheld him, we saw him, we heard with him. We rode together. Hallelujah. All right. So what's the point we're saying here? We are saying that all of the fullness of God dwells in Christ Jesus. All of the fullness of God dwells in Christ Jesus. There are two more scriptures I want us to read today. Let's just read two more scriptures. Then we're just going to race through the other one. Isaiah. Let's go to the prophecy of Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah. Just to, again, you know, let's see. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Then we're going to read Isaiah 9 verse 6. But let's read Isaiah 7:14 first. Look at it. Look at that. Therefore, at this point, it's going to be a prophecy. At this point, it is a prophecy. It will happen in the future. Isaiah prophesying here. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Look at that. And shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you know, the way we've interpreted Emmanuel is that, oh, God is with us. It's true. But the context is that God became man. He came here. All right? God actually, at some point in history, became man. So he came, so such that if you're going to number the man that has lived on earth, you will number God. All right? If you're going to take a list of every man that has come to this world, all right? God came as a man. He was with us. And he is with us in that sense, all right? So Emmanuel means that God is with us. God came with us. God became flesh. Hallelujah. Let's see some more. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. That wonderful name. Jesus. Oh, that wonderful name. Jesus. Oh, that's wonderful name. Oh, Jesus. There is no other name. I know. I want us to, from now, to sing that song with an understanding. To sing the song with an understanding. Hallelujah. So, Isaiah, let's look at Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, the authority will be upon his shoulder. Talking about, again, another prophecy about Jesus Christ. Look at this. Look at this. When God said it will be what it will be. All right? You will see this same God in different expressions and dimensions. Now, it says his name. Name. That name there will be his function, his nature, his abilities. It says it will be called Wonderful. Counselor. You know, that was the name given to the Holy Spirit. I will send another counselor to you. Look at the name of this child will be Mighty God. Hallelujah. All right? He says he'll be called Mighty God. All right? So, Everlasting Father, the Prince. Can you see him? He is that he is. I am that I am. Are you getting the point? Okay? So, his name encompasses all that he requires to fulfill his purpose. And like I've said, there's nothing that we need that is not in that name, that is not in the ability of God, because he is able, not a different God, he's able to do everything, all right, from his self-sufficiency, all right, all that his purpose requires to do. Let's just zoom in a little bit. I've got about some few more minutes. Zooming in a little bit. How did Jesus, all right? Now, we've seen all of this, that all of it, all that God, all the plans of God, the expressions of God, the names of God, the abilities of God, dwells in Christ Jesus. We've seen several scriptures, all right? Now, how did this happen to Jesus Christ? How come it's now Christ Jesus? So, this name, these abilities, how did Christ come about the name? How? Because we want to drill down to know how did this happen to Jesus Christ. Three quick points that will now form our study from this point going forward. We've studied some far, but from this point is going to form our further study in this series. Man and woman now, all right, they obtain their names in three ways. Three ways. All right? Three ways. Number one, by inheritance. By inheritance, meaning by we were born into that family. For example now, my son is Mr. Folami. All right? I didn't do anything about that name. I just got it by inheritance. Hallelujah. All right? And that applies to all of us too. Okay? We met our surname. We just met it on ground. All right? And we got that name by inheritance, by the fact that we were born into that family. Can we agree on that? All right? And so that applies, please don't be distracted, that applies to every one of us. All right? Now, the second will be, we're talking about how do people get their names. The second will be by conquest, by accomplishment. All right? So you will see General so-and-so. All right? So that name was given to him because maybe he's gone to battle, he won. All right? Then he became a general. Or maybe you've seen a professor. All right? Those are not names that people get by inheritance. All right? He worked for it. All right? Conquest, accomplishment, all right, that would be a second name or a second way people get their names, all right? Inheritance, conquest. Third will be by bestowal. When you bestow a name upon someone, okay? By bestowal, meaning you want to honor someone. You hear a honorary degree. You just want to honor him. Hallelujah. All right. So those three primarily, essentially, all right, will be how people get their names. And I want to make known to you here that Jesus Christ fulfills all these three conditions to be given this name above all names. Jesus Christ fulfills all of the three all of these three by inheritance, all right, by conquest. We're now going to begin to zoom in, all right, into those, you know, in our subsequent studies. By inheritance, by conquest, by bestowal, God honored him. God honored him. All right? Bible says, you know, just, it says, because you love righteousness and you hate iniquity, therefore the Lord your God has given you, it was a honor. God gave him that name. We're going to see how he conquered as well. And because of his conquest, he earned that name. Hallelujah. We're going to see how also, all right, because he was born of God, okay, we're going to see how also all of these names of God now became his name. Let's drive faster quickly. Let's move faster. So Jesus Christ fulfilled all of those conditions, okay? Then maybe before moving faster, let me take a step back and clarify, okay? We're just going to pick on one of them today. Just pick on it and we'll be able to move, we'll talk about it more next week. The name of Jesus in the four gospel during his earthly ministry, all right, the capacity under which he functioned, past tense, under which he functioned when he was here on earth, that capacity is different. That authority, that name, all right, the authority, the weight of that name is different from the authority on his current name. I'll say that again. Jesus functioned in a different capacity, level of authority during his earthly ministry. Okay? a function. Please, let's run to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. So Jesus Christ functioned differently. Differently. I won't have time to drill down to get there today, but let's look at it. Let's see. Are we in Luke 10? So let me clarify what I want to say. Please let me project Luke 10. Luke 10 verse 1. We're coming back to this 17, but let's just do verse 1, just to know. So after these things, look at it. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in twos or in two by twos before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. All right? So Jesus sent about 70 people. He sent them out in two by twos. Okay? Now, we're going to read 17 to 21. So let's pair it in two, 17 and 18. Let's just read some stuff here. We are trying to say that Jesus Christ operated under a different, out of lack of another word now, different authority when he was here on earth. All right? We are going to put this together with the name of Jesus and how he applies to you. Then the 70 returned. Don't forget, he sent them in verse 1. Returned with joy, saying, Lord, ha ha. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. So, in other words, when he sent them out in verse 1, he sent them out in his name. We are trying to clarify this name. That this name was different or is different, all right, at the time. Now, and he said to them, I saw like lightning from heaven. Verse 19 and 20. Let's put 19 and 20 together. 19 and 20. Thank you. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, that was why I gave you. I give you that authority. And you've come back now to say, oh, praise God, it happened. You know, we cast out demons and all of those. But then look at verse 20, is so important. Now, how do I say this? I'm trying to put it together because of my time. Now, what he's saying is that you went out to use that name on my behalf. And honestly, before now, I'd always thought that that is the authority that we have. You know, it's been explained as the power of attorney. All right? Is that what it's called? All right? Where you can act on someone else's name. All right? Like maybe, you know, I can give you my access so that you go there on my account. Now, Jesus sent those people on his account. They went in his name. But look at what Jesus said. Hallelujah. And it worked, no doubt. All right? They went on Jesus' account. It worked. But I'm trying to make us see that is not the authority we are working on now. It's not the authority we're working on now. Look at it. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the Spirit is subject to you. Look at this last part. He says, rather, because your names are written in heaven where I came from. Hallelujah. He says, our names now are written in heaven. Woo! Praise God. Now, we've explained it once. We said when Jesus came, all right, he came as the only begotten Son of God. He was the only one that has that authority. You see the difference now. It's not a different name. I'm not talking to you about different Jesus. I'm just talking about a different authority in the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus came as the only begotten Son, meaning a unique kind, the one of his kind. All right? And that was how he functioned throughout his earthly ministry. Praise God. So you will see that reference in John. We're not going to read because of our time. All right? He's the only begotten Son, monogenes, okay? One of his kind, unique, one and only of his kind, unlike another. All right? It will be the only one to come into this world like he came. All of us, like I used to put it, we came as a result of dad and mom. But Jesus came, you know, by God. So that's the uniqueness. That's the only begotten attribute of his birth into this earth. He's the only one that came that way. That's the uniqueness of Jesus' entrance into this world. So the reason is the only begotten Son. Right? But then, so let me give us reference to that. John chapter 1 verse 14, the only begotten Son. John chapter 1 verse 18. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. whosoever believes. Okay? John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. I'll take that again. John 1, 14, John 1, 18, John 3, 16, 1 John 4, 9. But then, praise God. But then, upon Jesus' death and resurrection, praise God. Don't forget what we said. That, you know, we said men or man gets their name by inheritance, by conquest, by bestowal. All right? So we are picking on inheritance. Now, the name that Jesus inherited, okay, it was not until he resurrected. Because that's where we now come in. All right? That name that he functioned on when he was here, it was his name, his name. But when we say now the name of Jesus that we now function on, the authority of that name that we function on now, it's after he resurrected. We've taught it once. Please let me refer us back to our study, the sons of God. We talked about that, okay? That when he now resurrected, he now became the first begotten from the dead. So there's a difference between the only begotten. So Jesus Christ was the only begotten, but when he died and he resurrected, okay, he became the first begotten from the dead. The first to be born again from the dead. All right? We can't read all of those scriptures today, but I'll give us so that you can read it from home. We're going to read one of it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians 1, 18 as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Hallelujah. All right. But then we're going to read this one. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. So we do 3 and 4. Hebrews 1, 3. We're going to read this one. Please, let's project it. 3 and 4. And 5 and 6. We do that later. Look at this now. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. So Jesus Christ, we've read this earlier. All right. The express image of God and all. Look at it, verse 4. Let's just go to verse 4. Having become, please pay attention. Pay attention. Let's look at this together, please. Just pretty much, please. Having become so much better than the angels. Look at that. Praise God. Now, has he by what? By inheritance. We're going to see when that inheritance set in. All right? It was not when he was born by Mary. All right? Obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 5 and 6. We're going to read the context now. You're going to see what he's talking about now. Praise God. Verse 6, please. Thank you. No, as in verse 5 and 6 together, please. Sorry. Now, so when he says he inherited a more excellent name than they all, he now explains. He says, for which unto the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today have I begotten you. Now, this is a prophecy. This prophecy referred to the day that he was resurrected. The day that he rose from the dead, it was then God pronounced him as his son. Hallelujah. Now, I've given us some scriptures there, all right? Please make sure you read them because of the time, all right? So, it says, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, all right? It is after his resurrection that he earned that name, that he had that name. Hallelujah. All right? So, therefore, it was after this that God gave him the name above all names. It was after that he obtained a name that is above every other name, a more excellent name than they all. Hallelujah. And Bible now tells us in Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, that all of us that we have believed in Christ Jesus, we have died, we've been buried, and we've resurrected with him. And today, all right, we are sat with Christ Jesus. Today, we are sat with Christ Jesus, meaning the inheritance that God gave Jesus, all right? Don't forget, it was his inheritance. Bible now calls us co-heirs. You get the point. Bible calls us co-heirs, meaning that inheritance that Jesus has got, in that all of the names of God dwells in him, the glory, the fullness of God dwells in him bodily, All right? We share that name together. That's the point. All right? By inheritance, by the fact that we've believed in him, we've believed in what God did. Bible says that faith made us co-heirs, joint heirs with the Son. All right? So if Christ has got a name, all right? And don't forget what that name is. That name is the name of the family of God. All right? If Christ has got a name, we also have got that name. Are we together, friends? We've also got that name. Please, let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. We're going to put all of this together. Ephesians 2, verse 18 and 19. As you project that, all right? So, we have now been born into the family of God. Agreed? All right? So, we now bear the name of the family of God. And that name of the family of God is the name of Jesus Christ. All right? So, that name now, you know, I remember when I said, you don't need to change your name. That's not the name we're reckoning with. All right? Someone say, because this. No. That's not the name we reckon with. You now belong to a new family. Are we together, friends? A new family, and under that family, we now belong to the household of God. That household of God has got a name. It is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. For through him, we both have access, one spirit to the Father. Say, we have access to the Father. Say it, Pastor. I have access to the Father. Oh, I have access to the Father. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, look at this. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers. We used to be strangers, all right, and foreigners. But look at this. He says, but now we are fellow citizens with the saints. He says, we are members of the household of God. Hallelujah. All right? So, we know the members of your household. All right? You bear the same name. So, if Jesus bears all the fullness of God, all right, if that is his name, we have that name. That is our name. It is under that authority that we function. Hallelujah. All right, so it's not a delegated name. All right, it was delegated because they're not part of that club, part of that family. But now we don't use a delegated name anymore. Clear? We couldn't read a lot of scriptures. But look at this. It says we are now members of the household of God. The household of God now has a family name. The family name is Jesus. The family name is Jesus. And we are members of that family. All right? We've been born into that family. And the name of Jesus reveals his victory, his position, and the fullness of God. And that has become that's my family name. Hallelujah. That's my family name. All right? So, we are not using his name as though it were merely delegated. I've said it. That authority, or delegated authority, no. All right? In Christ Jesus, we have been brought into sonship and we're given a name in him. Please, can we say together, I was given a name in him. Now, it will now make sense. Please, if you go back to that Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke 10, 20 and 21. It will now make sense. Luke chapter 10, 20 and 21. Luke 10, 20 and 21. Hallelujah. Look at it. He says, nevertheless, Jesus gave them his name. They acted on his behalf. They casted out demons. They did all of those. But see what he said. He says, don't rejoice in all of those. Now, it's okay to rejoice in all of them. But hey, he says, nevertheless, rejoice, not in these things that the spirits were subject to you, but says, rather rejoice. Because what now? Our names. My name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. And I have a name. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. So it's not delegated. It's the name that we have. It's the authority. So we carry that authority on us now. Like a son, a daughter of a royalty. All right, someone that is not part of that family can be given that name to go and just write something to go and use that name, and it works for him. But now we are saying we are part of that family. We have that name of Jesus. We have that authority of Jesus. We have that ability of God. We have all the fullness of God that is in Christ Jesus that God gave him by inheritance as well. It is ours today. Hallelujah, because we are born of God. The name of Jesus is now our family name. I wanted to make us see that. All right? So the name of Jesus today is our family. I want us to walk in that consciousness. All right, that I'm the son, I'm the daughter, I'm a child of God. I'm a member of his household. My name is written in heaven. My name is registered. I'm a part of that family, and we carry that name. I carry the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not to me delegated. No, it's the name that I've inherited by my faith in his son and what he did. Hallelujah. All right, so we walk in the consciousness of that name. I walk relating to the Father as a son who bears his name. Hallelujah. And, you know, and we have authority, not delegated now, authority in that name. Hallelujah. I will never know defeat in this life. That, you know, the days that, my down moments, my down days, they are over because I am in the name of Jesus. I'm in the victory of Jesus. I'm in the authority of Jesus. I have that name, the ability of the name of, I have it. Hallelujah. That is the name of Jesus that we have. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed today at all? Does it make sense? All right. Your name now, your family name now. Now, I don't mean that you write your name tomorrow. You say, my name is Ayodota Folami Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But what we're saying is that we have that. That name actually, all right, is our name. Jesus, God will relate to us today by that name. He's my son. He bears my name. I can't express myself further. We need to close. All right, we talk more about this so that you carry yourself with that understanding. All right, how can a king's child walk dejected? You have the name of Jesus. God is your father. All right, you have the victory that Jesus won. All authority, Bible says, has been given to him, and that name belongs to you. Take your position in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.